just 3 or 4 years ago, I really thought because of health issues that I was coming off the road. I really did believe that. But I praise the Lord tonight as a result of another surgery and being put in the hospital in the emergency room and thinking I'm going to have blood clots and everything else. They did some things and got me better, and I made up my mind. If I'm going to die, somebody's going to shoot me. I ain't killing myself. So I try to do right, and I try to exercise, and I try to do what I can and rest and pace myself. And the Lord's been very, very good to me. He's always been good to me. I'm listening more to Him than before, and so I'm doing myself better. And so do pray for Judy and I. Judy was in an accident back in May, and she's been going through some serious things, but she's doing much better tonight. She hadn't been able to travel much with me, but she's back on the road again, and she's doing well and being a good granny. And so things are going well. So we do appreciate your prayers. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. If anybody's traveling more than 3 hours tonight, then God bless you. I am. So I won't keep you long. Maybe. Every preacher ought to add to the end of his statements, maybe, so he don't lie. So that I want to go through the book of Isaiah, but we'll read one verse tonight, and I'll give you my thought, and we'll go from there. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. I want to bring a thought tonight, if you could. I'm a little more of an exposition, if I can. I like all kind of preaching. I try to do all kinds when I can. I preached a couple weeks ago and lost my mind, thought I was 20 again, and bitch about killed myself. But I'm in one of those more expository ways tonight, and if we could, I want to speak to the church on this matter of vision and ask the question, how is your vision tonight? How is your vision? Again, the Bible said the vision of Isaiah. Of Isaiah. It was his vision. God had given him a vision. And I want to ask us tonight. Reason I feel like it's what God would have is probably tonight are the ones that's going to take the work of God forward. If we lose our vision, we're in big trouble. So I want to just preach or teach a little bit tonight on how's your vision. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I will be the first to say, Lord, help me tonight. I sure do need this. Lord, I just seem like sometimes I lose focus. I get distracted. And I sure need your help tonight. Lord, will you take the message and will you use it to help us? And we'll give you the praise and the glory for whatever you do tonight and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. If you don't mind me for a little while to look at my notes, I was preaching a while back. I had 5 pages of notes, Brother Ken, and I hit the pulpit and they went. Phew. And I told the congregation, you better pick them up because I don't need notes to preach, but I need notes to stop preaching. So, well, we'll be here all night. So I do want to look at a couple of things. I want you to notice something here in the book of Isaiah, and then we'll go to a couple other chapters. But it was a while back, and I want to use what this man of God said in a moment in one of my first points. But it was due to sitting with a man, a preacher. If I call his name, many of you might know him. He's been around the circles for a long time, and I want to give a thought that he gave to me that night when we were talking about the matter. And basically, and I'll go ahead and tell you who it was, what it is, and put it into the point one. But Brother Ken, a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, we were over in South Carolina when a fairly large church, and it was the Rock of Ages National Conference. And there was at least 1,000, 1,200 people a night there, and Dr. David Gibbs of Christian Law Association was preaching for us. And late that night, Brother Ellis and myself and the pastor of the church and Dr. Gibbs went out to eat. And if you're with Dr. Gibbs, you're going to go out and eat all the time. And we went out and eat, and I have a tremendous amount of respect. Been up in his 70s now, and Dr. Gibbs is a tremendous man. He's also a lawyer and the head of the Christian Law Association. We were all sitting around, and the pastor was a little bit older than me, and I'm a little bit older than Brother Ellis. And we were sitting around, and the pastor made the statement, "I'm looking for someone that might can take over the church. I'm getting to that age where it's time maybe to step down." And I began to talk to Dr. Gibbs. Brother Gibbs, at what point does a man just say, "It's time to turn this work over. It's time to do something else"? And Dr. Gibbs said this, "You're only as old as your vision." You're only retired when you lose your vision. And I began to chew on that thing, Brother Ken, for a long time. I've traveled this nation over. I let me tell you, church, you ought to shout the glory down. Because I've been at this 30 years in this country traveling. I can remember the day, Sunday night, Wednesday night as a missionary. The house of God was packed out. And preachers had a zeal. And they wanted to reach their community. And they're on fire for God. And the people wanted to see their family saved. But all of a sudden, men of great vision just want to finish out. And even in my own self, Brother Ken, with the health issues and personal battles, and Judy and I with family issues that we've had to fight, and the church issues that you fight on a regular basis, and the constant battles, I thought, Lord, maybe it's just time for me to step aside. Now, I'm sorry I'm so transparent. But not until I just had my second cataract surgery about a week and a half ago. And the honest truth is, Brother Ken, there are some folks out here now got halos over their head, but it's because of the lights. That's the only reason. But when I tell you, we still walk in this flesh. But one thing about it, boy, y'all broke me when you prayed for me, because I thought, God, if ever there's a heathen, I'm him. If ever there's a chiefest of sinner, Paul got it wrong, I'm him. But thank be to God tonight, I still believe in you, and you're able to keep my vision clear. How's your vision tonight? It interests me because Isaiah, the Bible says the vision, and I like this word vision. It comes from a Hebrew word of kazon, and it means to see with the mind. If you would, to dream, to just dream. Have you ever woke up one morning and you've been dreaming and it seems surreal? I mean, you were only amazed. How about this one? You dream something and 4 or 5 days later it come true. I don't know if that's ESPN or what it is. But it amazed me. Deja vu, whatever they call it. You said, I've seen this before. Now, you probably have seen it before, didn't know it, dreamed it, and then saw it again. Especially at my age, you probably have seen it. But in Isaiah's case, he had a heavenly vision. The Bible said the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw. You see, the word vision in the Hebrew is kazon. The word saw is kazal. That means Isaiah dreamed it. Isaiah could see what it could be. And Isaiah came to a place where he saw it. He had a vision. But that vision, his sight, turned into reality. It was. There's a time, Brother Ken, this building wasn't here. But you dreamed it. You saw it. It was as good as here. Because a handful of people said, God has given us a vision to reach a people. And he saw this vision. And it was a vision. 1974. A couple, a man and a woman didn't have children at that time. They had a burden to reach 4 and 5 year olds. They came to an area and they were joined a church of about 150 people. And they started a Christian kindergarten. And that Christian kindergarten turned into a little Christian school. And that Christian school turned into a Christian college. And that Christian school today runs about 3,000 kids. And that Christian college runs about 6,000 students. And if you'll go to Pensacola, it's called Pensacola Christian College because a couple who just believed God, who had a dream and had a vision and started reaching 4 and 5 year olds, saw what no one else could see. They had a dream. And the dream never died out. Till the day bodies could go no longer, they had a vision to reach a people and change a world. And they've done so. Let me give you 3 things I'll be done tonight. How's your vision? First of all, I want you to look at something in Isaiah 1 and verse 1. I put down, Isaiah saw in his mind. But what did he see? The Bible said in the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. I just jotted down in my notes, hey, he saw in his mind a place. Wow. He saw Judah and he saw Jerusalem. And if you know anything about Judah and you know anything about Jerusalem and you know that the Lord himself will set his feet down on the Mount of Olives, he'll rule and reign again from Jerusalem. Can I tell you, Isaiah could see a place. He could see a place where the weary could come. He could see a place where the wanderer could come. He could see a place the worshiper could come. Hey, when's the last time you saw this place and you can still see, hey God, it's your place. It's our place. I can see you doing a great work. He saw a place for the people of God. Secondly, in verse number 3, the Bible said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know. My people doeth not consider. Can I tell you, Isaiah not only saw a place where the wanderer could come on in, a place where the worshiper could come on in, a place where the old weary sinner could come on in, but he saw a people. A people. Can I say to Liberty Baptist Church tonight, we're dead. When we start thinking church is all about singing and church is all about fellowship, those things are wonderful and I love them. Thank be to God, and that church should exist for this. But can I tell you, the church is to bring in the old wandering sinner that he might know Christ, that he might know how to worship like we worship, that he may know how to praise like we praise, that he might absorb the preaching and anointing of God in his own life. But there is, Isaiah could see a people. The Bible said in verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. Can I tell you, he saw people that were called. He saw people that were convicted. He saw people that were converted. And thank be to God, he saw people that were claimed by the God of heaven. Can I tell you today, I'm thankful that an old preacher by the name of Gene Stokes came into the little town of Central Florida where there was no church and started a little old church in a funeral home.
Right. Right.
And because of that, preacher, 500 families were saved that were not saved. And 18 of us were called out of his ministry and preached across this globe out of a little country church. You've been there, Brother Ken, 75, 80 folks. And God has done a miraculous work. And close to $2 million in that little church have been given to missions. All because a man saw a place. And a man saw people. Can I tell you, he not only saw that, but thank be to God in Isaiah chapter 1, you know the verse 18. Look at it. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I wrote down this evening, sitting over in the prophet's room, I wrote down, he not only sees the place, and he sees the people, but Isaiah sees a plea. A plea. There's a plea for the sinner. For though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Boy, right out of high school, I went to work in a little carpet mill in Atmore, Alabama. Wasn't long, I was a chemical dye mixer. And I'd get up there and we'd had a machine that run that white carpet through that machine. And then go through there and we'd dye it blue. And if the blue didn't have the right tint and a nice shade, we'd dump in big vats full of bleach. And we'd bleach all that blue out and it'd bleach it back to white. And then we'd try a little bit of green. If it wasn't right, we'd bleach it back and get the green out of it. But there was one color you could not totally remove without destroying the garment, and that was red. Can I tell you? Because he went to Calvary. Hey, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white. Okay. He saw the plea of the sinner. He saw a plea for salvation. And he saw a plea for the saint. I saw this this evening. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be. Be is a substantive verb. It's a verb that means to always exist. When they said Jesus, Moses said to God, who do I tell them you are? He said, you tell them I am sent you. That means I'm Him. I have been Him. I always was Him. I will always be Him. I don't need to lean on anything. I don't have to exist because of somebody. I am. And be is just basically I am. Otherwise, though your sins, you am a sinner. You will always be a sinner. That's just who you are as long as you're in Adam's blood. But can I tell you, I just saw this tonight. Though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be. Hallelujah. Hey, there is coming a day that there'll be no more sin in this body, no more lust in this mind, no more fear in this soul. Can I tell you, though I be a sinner, I shall be a new creation. What you see tonight, what do you think about it? What do you see? Isaiah had a vision. Why those around him couldn't see, but he could see. He could see so much, it was already done. When our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lord, I don't know what heaven looks like, but it sure sounds good. Me and Zoe, she spent a night with me the other night. We kept Judy and I for 28 years. I've been on staff at Rock of Ages. I've kept an RV up in Tennessee, and little Zoe was out of school this week, and she come over and stayed with Papa. Judy was down in Tampa seeing my daughter and other grandson. And she's staying with Papa. And she come in. She said, okay, Papa, I got my Bible. Let's read. I said, okay, baby, let's read. And she said, Papa, I'm reading this right here. It said, you must be born again. Now, you explain to me, Papa, how I can be going my mama's belly again. And I said, well, baby, Zoe got saved about almost a year ago, and she goes to Shenandoah Christian Academy there in Cleveland. And she goes, Papa, I said, Zoe, let's back it up. Who's the first two people God created? She said, well, Papa, that was Adam and Edith. I said, close enough. And she said, that old snake got in there and made them disobey God, and they ate that apple, and that's why we're in the mess we're in, Papa. I said, you got that right. And she said, Papa, I can't hardly believe that God saved me. And then she said this, Brother Ken. She said, Papa, me and you going to be forever together. Even if you die first, Papa, we're going to be together always, aren't we? I said, you got that right, little girl. Amen and amen. And like a little 7-year-old granddaughter said, she said, that's enough reading tonight. I want some Oreos and milk, Papa. I said, you got it, baby. How's our mind tonight? How do we still dream? Add on another part of the building. Reach another soul for the gospel of Christ. Add another missionary if you have to. Do we still see in our heart and mind? Have we stopped dreaming? Where's your vision tonight? He saw in his mind. Go, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Chapter 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now notice the Bible said the word. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it was the vision of Isaiah. Now the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw. How's your vision in your mind? But notice here, Isaiah saw in his mind, then Isaiah saw in the manuscripts. He saw in the Word. He saw in the manuscripts. What can I tell you? The day I got saved, I fell in love with this Bible. And there are times I just dream. Brother Ken, I remember the first time we went, Dr. Garrett said, boys, we got an opportunity. I've been praying, God, let us take the ministry overseas. We were reaching America, but we weren't going overseas. He said, I got a letter from a guy today that says that the prisons are open in Romania. And Dr. Garris asked in a meeting, like our Alabama meeting, but it was in Mississippi. And he said, would somebody here that's among the Rock of Ages, would you go and see? Well, three of us, Steve Gregory, Robert Keaton, Bobby Sizewell, and myself, said, we'll go. Bobby was pastoring at that time. We went over there, Brother Ken, and we looked around, and we met with the head of the prison department, and they said, send us a man. We went back, and the other three men said, oh, God won't give me the go-ahead to go. And Brother Garris called me that next morning. He said, Brother Ricky, what do you think? I said, Brother Ron, I believe that God will let us reach this world if we'd only be willing to go. And then that's when he declared me director. He said, okay, you're the director. I said, direct what? And this is what he said, Brother Ken. He said, that's all up to you. And boy, my mind, I began seeing the gospel and reaching prisoners around the world. That wasn't enough just for Ricky Dunford to dream. You see, I've started businesses. I've gone to colleges. I've done different things. Judy was an accomplished business lady. And we've done that. And I knew that I could physically or mechanically do some things. I had to have more than that. I said, Lord, the only way I'll go is if you'll give me a verse. If you'll show me in the Bible. If you'll confirm this is what you want us to do. And not only was it Isaiah saw in his mind, but he saw in the manuscripts. Can I tell you, he saw the future through prophecy. Hey, can I tell you, I can go ahead and prophesy to you because it's already in the Bible. It still says,
he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, it still works in 2018. It'll work till Jesus comes. He's still able today. It's written down in the Bible. Where's my vision? It's in the Bible. What did he say? Go ye into all the world. What did he say? Go preach the gospel. You'll doubtless come again rejoicing. Bringing your sheaves with him. He could see. He had a vision. If it's in this Bible, don't stop now. Did he not say, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, runneth over, shall men give unto your bosoms. I don't say this braggingly, Brother Ken. I do not. But three different times in the past week and a half, I heard from men of God who didn't have the means that I was able to help buy them a hotel room and put them up just out there on the road, Brother Ken. And can I tell you, I didn't really have it, but I went ahead and did it. Can I tell you why? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, runneth over. Shall men give unto your bosom. Hey, listen to me for just a moment tonight. It's still in the book. Just say, Lord, we're doing it for your glory. Let's just keep doing it. Well, you see, Isaiah saw not only in his mind, but he saw in the manuscripts. He saw God's presence through his path. Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up the mountain of the Lord to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. How do you see tonight? Do you see with your mind? Is your mind stayed on believing God is able and can do big things? Do you see in the Bible through His prophecy, through His path? And then I just wrote down, there's still power through His Word. There still is. It's because of a Gideon New Testament left in a carpet mill in Atmore, Alabama, and an old black preacher that just kept telling me, read it one more time, Rick, that I'm saved tonight. It's because of years that gospel tracts were put on the coin machines of my father-in-law's little car wash. And he'd get mad and pick them up. Why do these people put this trash on my car wash? And at 60 years of age, Brother Kenny walked in the back of the church. As far as Judy and I know it, by his testimony, he'd not been in a church since he's around 8 or 9. And he sat on that back pew the first time. And he came that night, I preached for my pastor. And he walked down that aisle trembling and gave his heart to Christ and was a great Christian then for 27 more years. All because someone just put the little gospel tract and anointed him. He read that tract one day and he began to tremble. And when he walked down that aisle, he handed the gospel tract to my pastor. I ain't sure what all this says, but I can't get over it. Tell me, what must I do? Like that old Ethiopian eunuch. How can I know unless some man show me? And he got saved. Because there's still power in the Word. How's your vision tonight? You still dream big dreams? You still believe God's able? You still claim it in the Word of God and say, God, you said it, so we're going to keep doing it. God, you said it, so I'm going to keep pressing on. God, I'm still going to keep going doing what you said because it's in your Bible. Thirdly, and I'm getting close to closing, I want you to look at that now in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. The Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Remember chapter 1 and verse 1? And Isaiah said it like this, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahab and Hezekiah. Isaiah prophesied a long time. He was in the ministry a long time. And he prophesied before four different kings in Judah. But this was when he was just beginning. This was his first term as a missionary, or right after he just called by God, because it was in the year Uzziah died, the first king. And Isaiah said, "Brother Ken, thank be to God today. Thirty and a half years ago, Judy and I make a decision to close down businesses, move away, load our little babies up, her homeschool, Tim just in diapers, and blaze our trail on the road because we had a dream. We had a vision. Because our preacher preached to us, Brother Ken, and he taught us the Word of God, and the Bible confirmed he'd never leave us or forsake us. But that still wasn't quite enough. Isaiah had a dream. He had a vision. He had his Bible, but according, because he was in the ministry in his early years. It was in the years that King Uzziah died. And I just love every jot and tittle that Isaiah said, "And I saw also." I didn't just dream it. See what God could do. I didn't just read it in His Bible to confirm what God could do. But He took me to a place where not only did I see it there, but I saw Him high and lifted up, sitting upon His throne, and His train filled the temple. And then when Isaiah said, in the midst of, "Hey, I saw Judah and Jerusalem, I saw a place, I saw people, I saw a plea. Oh, the great preaching and the study and the devotion, and I saw God can use me. He'll use anyone. He'll use me." But not until Isaiah said He took me aside and He showed me who He was, and Isaiah all of a sudden realized who He was. For he fell on his face and said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." God didn't call a perfect Ricky Dunsford. He didn't even call a righteous Ricky Dunsford. I mean, when he reached down past Judas Iscariot and got me. And he said, "Boy, you never will really be anything more than you'll let me be everything." If we turn, we won't. If we turn to the book of the Revelation, you'll find that it was on the Lord's Day that the Apostle John said, "While I was praying, I got caught up in a vision." And God began to show John what would transpire to even where you and I are sitting today. And He would give the dispensation of the church age on into the lukewarm Laodicean age. He would take us into, I believe, us leaving the Philadelphia age of missions. I believe that. And I believe it's going to get more complacent, more apathetic. I just believe lukewarmness is coming. It has to. If you believe that to be a prophetic book, it's got to happen. We're going to live through it. But when it was all over, you step out of that Laodicean church, and the Bible said, John said, "And I saw one sitting upon a throne." I was caught up. And He was sitting on a throne. And all those around, Brother Ken, they were going, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God." When Dr. Gibbs said it. Let me see what I jotted down. You never get old as long as you have a vision. And I made a note this evening, the death of any church or ministry or Christian is simply a lack of vision. Just a lack of vision. Go to Isaiah chapter 66. We'll close tonight. Isaiah chapter 66. The Bible says in Isaiah 1 and verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos. In chapter 66, and the very last verse of Isaiah 66. And many believe this is the close of the millennial age, and I'm not the best prophetic studier because I study the Bible. I have been to different colleges. I just one day figured out I got saved in Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to be in heaven. So I don't really care what goes on in them other years. I do for the sake while I'm living. But chapter 24, 66, 24, Isaiah said, and they shall come forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed me. For their worm shall not die, and neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto flesh. Isaiah said, I see the end time. I see God bringing us all the will stand behind. I believe if I can use the vernacular, stand behind the throne of God at the great white throne. We'll all stand before the judgment seat. But at the great white throne of judgment, when God judges the small and great and the dead and casts those that are not saved and the devil into eternity, I believe very possibly we'll be standing there, and this could be the scene. Again, a great argument over the passage, but let's assume this could be the scene that we will stand there that day, Brother Ken. And Isaiah said there'll be those that'll walk over and we will look upon the carcasses of those that transgress the law. And by the way, the law of righteousness is salvation. And they're going to look. And Isaiah began his book by saying, I see a place. And I see a people. I see a plea. A vision God had given me. Because I can see and look. And the word look is the same word as saw in the Hebrew. Isaiah said, not only did God show me a people here, but He shows me a people one day there. Why do you think God put the revelation in the end of our Bible? Why did He tell us to read it? To read it. To remind us there is coming a day of tribulation. There is coming a day of closure. When the heavens and earth shall flee away when He sits upon His throne in heaven. And we will see the end of mankind in the flesh of Adam. Eternally in their eternal spirit and soul cast into a lake of fire, the carcasses of those who refuse to accept Christ as their Savior. I believe this. If we look into the future through our Bible and see sinners on their way to hell, and church is simply this, how's your vision? How many of you believe the barroom owner tonight sees sinners going to hell? How many believe those lottery ticket sellers were concerned about all that traffic and coming into their store were concerned? How many of them who every time they sold a lottery ticket said, if you die today, would you go to heaven? How many of that bunch in Washington, D.C. you think really, maybe some, but really care?
They're concerned about an immigrant crossing the border. They're concerned about feeding someone, but nobody's concerned about them dying and going to hell. I should not say no one. Many are not concerned. So the question is this. If you and I lose our vision, what's the hope for Bowden and Carrollton and Georgia and the United States and the world? If we lose our vision. The Lord said to me, "How's your vision, boy?" The vision of Isaiah. Put your name there. How your vision. Would you stand with me tonight, please? Your heads are bowed. Let's pray.